So for the policy committee, Brendich?
Here.
Garcia?
Yes, here.
Rodriguez?
Here.
And Walter?
Here.
Thank you.
All right, and also in attendance, we have Jason Hedman, we have Elisa Topper, and we have Emmy.
Yeah, can't forget about you.
Yeah. All right, Julie, did you want to go ahead and lead? Do you want me to bring up the agenda?
Yeah, I'm kind of having trouble with my computer at home, so if you could bring up the agenda, that would be great.
All right. Does everybody see that? Yep. Okay.
Yep.
So let's see. So we've gone through everybody else who's here, so the recognition of visitors. Are there any amendments to the agenda? No public is in attendance. Do we have any staff comment? Lisa?
No.
Okay. Then let's go on to new business, approved staff health policy. So go ahead, Julie.
Yep, and I don't know if you have the ability to bring up the policy on the screen as well.
Yep, I can do that.
Okay, perfect.
Let's... Wait a minute, that's a... it is a Word file. I have it up.
Yep.
Great.
So just as Darren's getting that pulled up, I'll just start off with, you know, coming out of our last board meeting, we talked about, you know, in addition to the kind of operational procedures and policies to help serve patrons for the library again, we needed to make sure that we had some documentation around the policy to ensure any of our library staff is kind of aware of what the expectations would be as they start and return to work, and also that we are clear on what kind of the expectations are to keep them healthy as well as our patrons that they're serving healthy as well. So this policy is really just intended to do that. I did, thanks for everybody who sent me examples of things that they had seen that was really helpful. And so I kind of married together, if you will, some of the info I got from you guys, as well as some of the info that I had kind of just on my own through my work, and came up with the draft that was sent out to you guys.
Okay, so that's what I have up here, correct?
Yep, perfect, yep. And so it really kind of breaks down the policy into a couple of different sections, if you will, so kind of the return to work guidelines, what that would look like, what a staff member would do if they feel like they cannot come in for their shift, the pre-shift health screening that we talked about last time that would be important for staff, not community members or patrons, but certainly for staff, and then continuing on with some of the things that we know are best practices at this point coming out of the CDC and the Illinois Department of Health relative to social distancing and hygiene, PPE, and those things. So I guess I'll just open it up to the group. If you want to take a chance to read through some of that, maybe you already have, and we can just pause briefly and then jump in with any questions or edits we might have.
The one I wanted to bring, I had a few I wanted to bring up.
Sure.
The one, if you see what I have highlighted under daily pre-shift screen, health screening.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Okay. So, since we already tell people, it says screening does not need to be completed between shift start and end. I figure we could just rewrite that additional screening during shift is not required.
Yeah, that would serve the same purpose. That would be fine.
And then I just think under the return, everything looked good to me. Under the return to work guidelines, we don't have an HR. I would just say to the manager or library director.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I wasn't sure whether or not there's like a City of Yorksville HR, or is it truly just like the library management team?
They do some of the HR, but it's mainly the library director and the manager that handles all of our staffing.
Okay.
And the board.
Got it. Okay, good to know. Thank you.
I've got two comments, if you may let me. The three things that I had noted were the one on the HR department, which someone just covered, and the pre-shift screening. And then the third thing I had was staff that can work from home should continue to work from home. As of June 3rd, everyone is back working at the library. So no one is working from home.
No, that's okay. I was going to say that was something that I saw pop up in several different documents that were shared with me and ones that I had found on my own as well. So if I could just, I think the point that I was trying to get to, and certainly up for debate, we can decide whether or not it feels right for us at this time, but is that, you know, we're only opening back up for curbside service for a couple of hours each day throughout the week. If there is possibility for staff to get other things accomplished and still work, and can do so from home, it sounds as though that's what a lot of companies and organizations are trying to do.
I brought it up with the managers about the fact that we have a telecommuting policy if anyone was interested in doing that, and everyone seemed to say that we really need to be at the library working, at least at the manager's level.
So is it only now the managers that's working, or everyone? Because I remember at the last board meeting,
everyone that's scheduled is coming in.
Okay. And what was that located under?
It's not the second paragraph under return to work guidelines.
Can you scroll to anything?
For sure. Return to work guidelines.
Second paragraph.
At the top?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Okay. So which paragraph? The first or this?
Second paragraph. Okay. First sentence, second paragraph.
Well, if everybody's there, then I guess we would have to change it. If everybody's, no one has not denied not wanting to come back for curbside. Correct, Elisa?
Correct. All the managers and myself are back working our regular schedules. Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if we need to call out then, like if we remove that sentence, if we then need to call out another bullet point under this section around if you refuse to work, what kind of how we handle that, how we manage through that. And there might be some people who refuse to come back in who say, gosh, I can work. And I know you're saying there's no one right now, but just hypothetically speaking, I can work. I can do anything you want me to from home, but I'm immunocompressed. And so I really don't want to come back right now. So that situation and then the kind of flat out refusal to work, I wonder if we should outline both of those points instead.
So this was particularly referring to those that we thought were going to stay home. This particular sentence was saying that those staff members that are going to stay home can work from home. Julie?
Yes, so that specific second bullet point there was all regarding how people are kind of returning to work and the guidelines there. So I put in staff can work from home. Staff that can should continue to work from home because I saw that pop up in several of various documents that I looked at. I couldn't tell you what they are right now, but
right.
Various documents I saw. And you know what? I just know other organizations are doing that. And it does vary. It does depend kind of about the business that you're in business
so
for.
So maybe in our case, since we're a library and we're not like the normal, I guess, organization business type, what you would say, most of our staff members, I guess, they have to do that to work, helping us get the shelves and the books and so forth and preparing for the curbside service.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking maybe, and you know, everybody can chime in, maybe we don't need that right now. We could always adjust the policy.
Yep.
But as a start, maybe we can, you know, remove that part because we do kind of want, and everybody seems like everybody wants to be back at work, so
yep.
We want to encourage them to be there. So I would just say, for now.
I would say eliminate that.
For now.
Yeah. And I wonder if...
So then we have to add it back? Only because if there's a resurgence, then you'd end up having to add it back if, you know what I mean? If somebody is well, but somebody in their house is sick, then they should be able to work from home. Because if somebody in their house is sick, they shouldn't come in because they could bring the contaminants to the other staff. You know what I mean? Like, that could literally change in 3 days. We could find out that somebody has a family member who's ill, who could work from home.
I mean, realistically, though, beyond the managers, is there any other position that would be able to work from home and have a task to do?
No.
Okay.
Well, it says staff that can work from home, so it's only managers.
Right. It would be managers.
So I feel like if there's a resurgence and we have to close, we'll handle it the same way we handled it the first time. I don't know that...
Right.
There's really enough of a need for us to spell it out in this, because this is more of the return to work and safety type guidelines. You know, if we hit the point where we have to close again and have staff working from home, then
mm-hmm.
I would think that would
be even if you weren't closing, what if somebody just, like a manager, mm-hmm. I'm just saying if it's not written out, then it's the manager having to personally negotiate it rather than it being our policy. Does that make sense?
Well, that would need to be changed and say something to the effect of if a staff member is in a situation that precludes them from coming to work and their duty working from home can be facilitated, and they can do that.
Right.
So however that wants to be addressed or worded in there, you know, like you said, if a family member or somebody, they come in contact that's got COVID-19 and they have symptoms, they shouldn't come to work.
We call that out in the other text in that same section. We talk about in the first bullet point, if they're diagnosed or if someone in their household is, they shouldn't report.
Right, they shouldn't report, but that doesn't mean, like, I could have somebody in my house sick. That doesn't mean I can't work. Does that make sense? Like, do work duty. So like Russ said, it might just need to be reworded, because there's a lot of times when you can't physically come into the building, but I could still work from home. Or if my child was, you know what I mean, like, due to COVID-19, because this is a COVID-19 specific one, I do agree, like, with Russ saying it should be reworded, but I feel like we're going to take it out having to be like, we should have said something about what happens if somebody gets sick and you can't physically come to work, but you can still work.
What about saying staff, instead of saying staff that can work, how about staff that needs to work from home?
Due to
COVID-19... issues.
I'm thinking that we don't really. I mean, we have a specific need right now,
mm-hmm.
but why limit it to COVID-19?
Right,
because that's what this is all about.
I know it is.
No, but you're talking about the work from home.
Yeah,
but what happens if next week we have a pandemic of German measles?
So the pandemic policy
or
we already
pandemic
passed.
Of creeping cruds.
Right, but.
We have a pandemic policy that we
right.
have.
And that addresses working from home, correct?
Right.
And it's telecommunication.
It does.
So that's all still in place, right?
Okay. Yes.
So for the sake of COVID, since we already have the pandemic policy that addresses working from home, wouldn't that cover somebody if they're sent home again as well?
Which policy? The one that we've created already?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
So my thing is, because I'm looking at your screen versus my screen.
I know
so,
it's hard.
Yeah, I need to minimize yours so I can see it myself. So we have staff members who are diagnosed with, it's in the first return to work, who are diagnosed with the COVID-19, have family members within their homes, whatever, who have been notified by their local whatever, should not report to work. So the very next bullet is, if you are not able to physically come to work, but are still able to do, like, work from home duties, then you should be, like, that's the follow-up bullet. Like, you can't come in, because somebody in your house is sick or the authorities, maybe you don't even have symptoms, but they tell you you have to quarantine for 14 days.
Right.
But I'm well, but you still have to stay in your house for 14 days. The next bullet should be, if you've been required to self-quarantine or a family member's sick and you are well enough to work, then the telecommuting policy will
have to go into
follow. Place. Like, maybe that's what we do. We say that's the... You know what I mean? That should be the second bullet.
Yep.
Yeah,
so it's not a blanket, I just feel like working from home. It's only if you're physically not allowed to come back in the building, then follow our telecommuting policy.
Good. That's it.
It would be more like staff required. I'm trying to remember what you said.
Staff who were precluded or...
required to quarantine.
That's
required
it.
To quarantine, yes.
Due to COVID, or
are well enough to work to do well enough to work from home should follow our telecommuting policy. I don't know if that's the name of our policy.
When applicable.
When right. applicable.
There we go, Jason.
Yeah.
So, but are well enough to
perform duties, work duties, or
yeah.
Well enough to perform work duties.
And it's basically, like you said, only the manager.
Or job duties.
Wow. Yeah.
Then what, staff? I don't know.
Is it called the telecommuting policy?
The telecommuting? I'll think
about it. It's the Yorkville Public Library telecommuting agreement.
Agreement. That's it.
Hey, and Darren, while you're there editing in that first bullet, human resources pops up again. So it's like, yeah, just kill that. Yeah.
Manager.
Should contact their manager
and or.
Yeah.
Contact their manager and who?
Library director.
Library director.
Capital Info Manager.
He's one of those. He deletes the whole thing.
I learned to type. And
I would say instead of and library director or
library director.
Yeah, one or the other.
Manager first.
Yes.
If they can't reach the manager, then the director.
Right.
Yeah. All other reasons for not reporting to work should follow existing call-off procedures.
What happened? All other reasons for not reporting?
I just feel like the word should isn't all other reasons for not reporting to work.
Oh, yeah, should.
Should follow, so, yes. Existing call-off procedures.
That last sentence, yeah, where your cursor is, Darren.
This one right here?
Yep. All other reasons for not reporting to work should.
Should.
All right. Follow. Word should follow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the next... Never mind.
All right. We got this for here.
Yep. Do we need the second sentence then? The however, because the library will be open
at
least. I think that
whole thing should go and it should be replaced with what he typed.
Mm-hmm.
So get rid of this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that whole second bullet should go. Yeah. Including that sentence, yep.
Okay. So let me get all the stuff straightened around with it. Font-wise and all that. Okay, so, let's see. We'll do a change on this one. Let's see. The other one I had was, since we were calling stuff out here on clean shared surfaces, other things like computer mice and phones, mice could be included, I think.
Yeah,
it's a good call.
And then the other one, it said under physical distancing to wear a face mask or face covering, but that's already covered up here above where it says that everybody has to wear a mask, right?
Yeah, but that's just under PPE. And what she's doing here is she's still stating the physical distance and making sure that they are aware that they still need to wear the mask. It's just,
yeah, that one is specific if they can't maintain 6 feet.
Yeah. It's just standard. I've seen it all over all kinds of information.
Right. The staff still have to wear masks, though, in the library.
Yes, sure.
Correct.
Do we need to clean the thermometer if it's a no-touch digital?
You know, I thought about that too, Russ. And then I just thought there's something about the optics of seeing like an alcohol swab on something. I know it's not supposed to be touching anyone, but
I would say it's at the end of each day, though.
Yeah, at the end of the day, but not between individuals.
Right. Where is that?
Who's doing that? Where's that at? Sorry.
It's not here.
It's on the first page.
Daily pre-shift health screenings, number 1A.
No, I mean, who's conducting it? Was that listed?
The library director or a designated member of the management team. It doesn't say who.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The thermometer must be clean without an alcohol swab at the end of each day?
Yes. Are you guys okay with that? At the end of each day, do you think?
If it's not touching anyone, it's only being picked up by the one person.
Right.
You're washing your hands.
Exactly.
It's just good to clean it every so often, and once a day is good, I think.
I think so. Okay. I didn't see anything else. Everything else looked good to me.
Yep. And then I think we're good if there's no other items on it to address.
And are we working on, we're only working on this, we weren't working on, we're going to have another meeting for policies for if we open doors when they allow, what's that, stage four? We're in three now? I can't keep track, sorry.
We're in three. We get to phase four.
Phase four.
That's going to be the internal.
Just saying that's going to be the end of June.
Okay, so when are we going to start working on those?
Well, we can start putting together or getting all the information that each of us have. Or
Are you talking about another staff policy, or is this a policy for how to treat patrons or how to manage?
How to manage patrons.
How to manage patrons.
I feel like there was a lot.
How many we're
going
to allow in the building at a time.
Yes.
Just for us to help talk it out. I don't know if managers to talk it out, or, I mean, I know that Elisa and a couple people have attended some of the webinars about.
Yeah,
the webinars.
Well, experience the distancing at the store, and we have to have the same thing at our.
And Elisa, the stuff that you sent over from, I think it was Oak Park Library, that was a lot of really good content there. A lot of it didn't apply to this policy, but there was a lot there just like operations wise with patrons that I thought, you know, could easily be leveraged as we plan that next phase.
Yeah, well, we've got the working document the managers have been working on.
Yep.
I did send out an email to the director at Plano and Oswego, because the discussion on going on now is asking when are people thinking about reopening. And I know that Plano and Oswego were both thinking after 4th of July. I know that Messenger North Aurora is shooting for July 13th. So we can talk about that at a regular meeting about possible. But right now, we're not ready.
Right.
A number of issues that we're down 6 positions and trying to decide how we're going to keep things clean. The libraries are moving towards limited hours and then limited times, like 1 hour, calling it grab and go, where you're just coming in, getting what you need, and leaving. So, I know that Chicago Public Library opened up today, but then again, they also worked all through the times that we were closed. So, I, you know, the number one priority is the safety of our staff and patrons. Another thing that came up today on the director's listserv is, how do you enforce people wearing a mask? So that's going to be probably some of the policies that we're going to have outlined.
Do you mean patrons?
Patrons.
That sign, I think I sent over a sign, a poster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the greeter. Like, that's the greeter. Yes. Because I've had my son show up places and he had to drive all the way home to pick up food, and they were like, so sorry, no mask, no entry.
That needs to be on the front doors. Both front doors.
We have disposable masks to give to people, but then what happens if they say they have a medical condition and they can't do it?
Curbside.
Curbside delivery.
And then how do you deal with, like, with some of the customers at Walmart that are getting, you know, violent because they're being...
I don't think you have that.
And then you have the panic button. You have the police station across the street. I mean, I don't think people would get that rowdy for coming in.
But you're really going to have a greeter, somebody who's able to tell them to turn away. And if somebody gets belligerent,
that
then
feels
you
comfortable.
Have to do the panic button. Yeah.
Well, we'll do a rotation with the managers to start.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just so we get a feel for what's going on.
And most of our patients...
So will this need to be another policy meeting as we go through this, eventually, to adopt something?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it worth discussing on the agenda tonight if we're thinking that it's going to be...
For next month.
Right. I agree.
I mean, are there large items that we can probably at least dive into tonight?
Well, we have it in the working document under Phase 4 is outlined.
Okay, but if we're thinking about opening next month, I mean, and we don't have time between now and then, I see the only thing that, like, we... Is there an expense that we're going to have to approve? So, like, the plexiglass? Are you planning to put up plexiglasses at the circulation desk?
They're already up. Everything's ready to go.
Okay.
So why I'm bringing this up is that, you know, I just don't want us to get into an Open Meetings Act violation because our business tonight right now is approved staff health policy. If we're talking about something totally different, I don't want us to get caught in an OMA issue.
Totally agree.
Well, I think that handling patrons is part of their... That's what I'm saying. Is this policy complete? If in another 3 weeks they're going to have to be face-to-face within 6 feet of patrons, should that be part of...
So then you're saying we could add something to the health policy now?
We're still going to have patrons in the thing. I'm just saying, is there anything about... handling patrons that should be in the staff health policy, because staff will be handling the patrons and talking to patrons and, like,
I think that's a separate policy.
That's
separate.
And that can be included under library rules.
Yeah, and I was kind of wondering, that's a great call out, Elisa. I was wondering how much of it does it live in a policy right now, or an addendum to a policy, and then just, like, operating guidelines. Like, I know, you know, Elisa and the management team are working on a really thorough
plan
for all of that, and I feel like that should be, like, really outlined in terms of, like, here's what we're supposed to follow to make sure that we're doing things under whatever protocol we decide is the best.
I think, in my opinion, we're going to have either add it to a board meeting or have another policy meeting that's going to put us ahead of coming up next month to prepare.
Well, can I ask a question? And maybe I missed it. Because this is all the return to work and the PPE. And I didn't see where we talked about what happens if you get sick as a result of coming to work.
As a result, does that mean catching it at work?
Yes. And so you can't come to work, but you caught it, like, you see what I'm saying? So, like, if you're a part-timer, you don't get paid. Now that we're open, you don't get paid unless you physically come to work. But what if you were exposed at work?
How do you prove it?
Yeah, exactly.
Just know that's how some companies are paying people when they have to stay home, if they believe they caught it. Like, if they shut down they pay the people when they close. You see what I'm saying? I thought that was one.
Yeah, I mean, there are things that I've seen around, you know, if you contact COVID-19 and you believe that it was in the workplace, like, what are we supposed to do to make sure
I think
that other staff are informed?
Or if you're exposed, so we shut down for 2 days, and now people aren't going to make that money they were going to make while we're cleaning. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, what if we believe there's an exposure,
and
so we say we need to close for 2 days to clean?
Right.
Do
they get paid?
I don't know that we want to include that in this, because I think we'll have to determine the scope of the closure and the scope of how many people are sent home, and probably deal with it case-by-case situation. I think the challenge is, if we include it in this and there is a resurgence of the pandemic, I think we want the flexibility to be able to determine our response as things change, rather than include it in a policy that can be, you know, pointed to and held and said, you're going to pay us all now because you put it in this policy. So.
And we can always revert back to the mandatory closure due to pandemic policy, because even if, let's say, we had to close for a week, I don't know if that's the right timing, somebody gets it, they expose others, everybody needs to quarantine for 14 days.
Right.
We can still revert back to that policy, and if we choose, we can say, hey, everybody go home, we're going to still pay you like we did when this originally started.
Yep.
I'm so glad that we have that one in place, because we can turn right back to it and say, okay, we need to reactivate this one again.
Right.
I think I sent over a sample memo, and we can look at that later, that talks about the exposure of how we notify the employees. We could start, that's a start, and then go back to the pandemic as well, policy that we
So that doesn't go in here either, notifying employees of...
No, that's why I did a separate memo, like, if it happened, we could use that memo to notify our staff members that, hey, we've been notified that someone has contracted.
So where does stuff like that go?
Do you have that memo, Darren?
I do. Let me bring it up. I mean, I know it's splitting hairs, but this policy is called a staff reactivation policy, where
I understand
where it's sending, or, you know, it's detailing out what the staff responsibilities are to come back to work.
So I was just saying, do we create a new policy for each? Do we? I'm just saying, like, not that I want this to ever happen again, but
yep.
Do we have all of these individual things? There's individual pages, which makes sense, so then we could, you know, update just one piece. Does the how to notify become a separate policy? Does the, you know what I mean? Like, do we then need to have a meeting where we create that memo as its own official policy?
And just have it there.
Right, so that we could already have it instead of having to have additional meetings to figure those out.
I think a memo would be a part of our practice. I don't know if that... I'm not sure if a memo would be a policy. I think a memo would be part of our practice.
But would that go in the binder? I guess I'm wondering, what if, you know, half of you were gone? How do we remember what we did before? When it goes in a policy, it's there. It's record. You know what I mean? Like...
But this is a procedure. Is it a policy or is it a procedure?
This isn't a policy.
Right.
This is just a notification that when we create a policy for that, this is a start of how we will get notified. It's just a quick sample to have. If something happens quickly, hey, we have this. We can always go back in and adjust it. That's why I put the red. We can put all the details in there, but at least we have a start.
So this is a procedure. The other thing is a policy, the reactive policy.
Yeah. And I don't know, Rebecca, I don't think you were copied on, Elisa had sent out something, I'm going to go back to Oak Park's example again. It's a good one. Elisa, if you didn't send it to the rest of the group here, maybe it's worth it. But they actually, it's almost like their whole entire playbook of their policies, their procedures.
Right. They have like what was policy
memo.
Versus what was procedure. Right. I'm just
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. And it's like their go-to, like, one-stop shop for everything that they might need for a situation like this.
I guess for me, I'd like to have it, I like that clarification. Like, it's named policy. It's named procedure. You know what I mean? So, like, I know what is what.
Well,
if I were to do a binder, if we had a brand new person come through and get this binder, how do they know which things are policies, which things are procedures, which things are memos, which were suggestions?
So then probably what I agree with Julie, if we, because this is, Lisa could get that to everybody to look at, review that policy, that whole, it's very thorough. And if we all look at it and see how that particular library did it, it'll give us some thoughts on how we probably, you know, utilize and make it work for us. But it's very thorough.
David Selip is the director of Parks, sent that out to all the directors, yes. And then the directors have been using that as a template.
That's
to
a good
on what
I agree.
We're doing.
So it's a great model. That's all follow. Together one document too that people can refer to.
Mm-hmm. So that's another meeting.
Okay.
This is supposed to be just to approve that one for return to work.
That's
today.
Right. That's correct.
And then everything else that we're talking about, I think it's going to have to be for a meeting to have that particular document, you know, in our policy, in our handbook for everyone. But if any of us leave or anyone decides to leave, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it an expansion of our pandemic, like,
communicable disease?
You know, like the whole, yeah.
Yes. Do we have a
whole book for that
section in our policy?
I don't think so.
Do we have
this
a what?
This will be the beginning. Communicable diseases.
We have section. We have a contagion policy.
Okay. So this would be, I guess, after because of all of this, like I said, and I'm done. We would have to have a meeting to create that actual policy for our books for everyone to have, that just in case something like this occurs again. And then we won't have to really go back to it. That's my thought.
Yeah, I think we're living right now through the, you know, how we're dealing with this, but, you know, with coming up with a policy mm-hmm. and reactivating all this stuff is so brand new to us that.
And I would suggest if we have another special meeting to make it a lot broader so that we can have the discussions about all the parts that are related, because there's so many parts that are related to one another, and then to not be able to discuss the details of the, I mean, as you're talking about one, you're like, oh, we should add that to this, but we didn't put that on the agenda, so
it's
we can't be able to do it. Yeah.
Right.
So that we have a much larger pandemic or, you know, whatever
right.
we call it, that it's, we're discussing the whole manual, basically.
Yes. Yeah, that's what our next meeting should be for the policy. Right? Okay, is that it then?
So.
All right, then I guess we're done.
We have to make a vote to approve. No, we cannot approve it, but we can make a recommendation to take it to the full board.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if we're
Darren, when you get the revised one after it's approved, can you get that to me so I can get in our policy manual?
Sure will.
Thank you.
So we'll talk. We'll vote for approval at our board meeting.
Correct.
So I make a motion that we bring this to the board meeting tonight to have a vote to adopt it.
Second.
Okay. Roll call.
Yes. Walter?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Brendich?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Then, we'll bring this up tonight for a vote.
Okay, talk to you at 7.
All right, I'm going to roll in the changes right now. So, all right, great.
Bathroom break time.